I do have something I want to share with you today, and my notes start out with this sentence. Wow, what a week. Yeah, because just a few weeks ago, I was really worried about how we were going to take care of our septic system. Just a few weeks ago, I was getting quotes from people like the First Church of God pastor, Rick Rufinock, who told me they had to put in a lift station, which is what we were having problems with, and their lift station was $11,000. $11,000, and I'm thinking, we're happy to pay bills here, let alone find $11,000 extra. And then this guy named Bill Ames in our church got involved, and he got to talking to some people. And we had already spent $525 just to get the stupid thing pumped out. We thought that would be great. Well, we'll just, you know, we'll be fine. And then a few weeks later, enough rainwater had rushed right back in that we were going to have to pump it again. And I was like, oh. And the idea we thought was maybe we could limp along with it if we just pumped it once in a while until the city decides to bring sewer out here. Although that could be this year, or it could be next year, or it could be never. We don't know. And I was like, ah. And this week, because Bill got involved, our pump is running, everything's back to normal, and it's all functional. We've got one other little thing we've done, and we've only dropped $900 into it. Wow, what a week. Wow, what a week. Wow, what a week, because you may not realize it. Some of you may not have even noticed, but there's another speaker above my head. And we drug some wiring through the ceilings, and I was out here with John Ousley, and boy, did we, I was up and down and up and down and up and down ladders and crawling around and vacuuming some more and cleaning, and the people came in to do, the Sanders were in to, on Wednesday, they cleaned the church, but we were messing it up more after they left, you know, and it was just one of those weeks, and we worked five days to put in a lot of stuff. Now, some of you see there's cameras in the back, and the question has been, Pastor Tim, will those cameras see us? Yes, and the first time you fall asleep, we're putting it right on Facebook. No, just kidding. Listen, the last thing we want to do is make it look like, you know, coming to Bethel Church is something where people fall asleep. So if you fall asleep, you're guaranteed not to get on, and we won't be. The goal is not to do our audience, but is to do whoever's speaking and sharing testimonies and those things. And it's going to enhance our ability to do live streaming. It's actually going to free us up. We actually have to pay a small monthly fee for live streaming, and pretty soon we won't. So that's going to be pretty cool. So there's all sorts of things happening with that. Now, here's the thing. There are five cameras up. We're probably going to have two more. These cameras, if you try to buy them right now, I found them on one website still available. They are discontinued. They were made by Sony. They're older models, but they're really good. It's just that there are always better things coming along, and some people have to have newer stuff. And John has this ability to get these things, and we won't talk about how all that works, but what I will tell you is those cameras are $3,200 a piece on that one website. And there's five of them in here. And then there's some other pieces sitting in the back. They're little boxes that are worth like $10,000 each. And there are miles, I think, of cable running through the ceiling that we put in. And I can't remember everything we've done. This speaker we were able to buy because we sold a speaker that was back here because we were given those two subs. And when we sold this one, we sold it for more money than this new one cost us. And so we actually have made money on our upgrades. We've upgraded over $50,000 worth of stuff, and we've made money on it. When do you upgrade and make money? Wow, what a week. Wow, what a week. It's really cool. And this stuff is still, you know, we got some stuff to do to it, and we're going to spend a little bit more money, but yeah, it's going to get better, and adjustments will be needed, but you know, it's not going to, I mean, it's really amazing, but I'm not done. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, John. And he's got some skills. He talks to me all the time about what he's doing when we're doing this stuff, and I just nod my head. I look at him and I think to myself, tie my tie and tie my bow tie, here come to Honda. Because it's just tongues to me. I can't see what he's saying. But I wanted to mention this too, because our bank account has grown. And the reason our bank account has grown is because this guy sitting in the back, Kurt Monk, has access to some computer stuff. And we've sold some of that before, but he got us some really nice computers, and I sold the stuffings out of them. I've got three more that I haven't even put up yet to advertise. I sold 7 out of 8, and one is spoken for. All I have to do is get back to Southern Ohio to take it to my brother-in-law. And we've put some extra money in the bank, which more than covered what we've already spent on the septic system. And so after this week, and I'm looking at things, and I'm going, wow, what a week. What a week for our church. What a week. Yeah, thank you, Kurt. Come on. And there's all sorts of little things that were just, you know, going on. And I'm not going to, but I'm just thinking, wow, what a week. And I know what you thought when I first said that my notes began with, wow, what a week. Because you were thinking I was going to say, wow, what a week. But you know, God is not bothered by some little virus running around the world. And you're saying, you called it a little virus. Well, it is. It's a tiny, teeny thing. You can't even see it. It's affecting a lot of people, though. And it has been a pretty crazy week. And I know you were thinking that I was going to start right off with the pandemic. But see, the thing is, God is up to something good all the time. All the time. I do have some things to say about the pandemic, but I want to say this. 6 weeks ago, and I didn't get time this morning. We were doing stuff with the sound system because we're still making adjustments. I wanted to go over. There's a marker board over in the hallway by the youth room. And on that marker board, I have 5 verses or 5 locations of scripture that I've been sharing with the youth. And they are 5 promises. And I started that 6 weeks ago. If I had a promise for this week for him, it would be the 6th week. And it may be the 7th week. I'm not sure because there was a week in there where I don't think we did one of them. But I've been leaving the promises on, and then I add another promise each week. Each week I've added another promise. And I want to share those promises with you today. Now, some of them you'll be familiar with, and you've heard me mention these promises. But when we're in a time like we are right now, where the world is gone crazy, where you can't even buy toilet paper because the world has gone crazy. My brother sent me a thing, and it was, you know, some of you remember Scooby-Doo. When I was a kid, Scooby-Doo was a great cartoon. And at the end of every episode, there would be this unmasking of the culprit. And the meme thing that he sent me was, you know, they're, okay, we're going to see who's responsible for this pandemic of coronavirus. And there's a hood, and they pull the hood off, and it's the Charmin bear. just trying to sell more Charmin. You know, it is. It's been nuts, and the stock market's been nuts, and the news has been nuts, and everything has been crazy. But I've been sharing every week promises for over 6 weeks now with the youth. And the promises I've been sharing with them, I want to share with you today. And I found it interesting when I got to thinking about it, because these promises are very applicable to the situation that we are in right now. So this is a big deal. How many heard Mark last week say that I like to share the verse Jeremiah 29:11? That's the first one on that board. I wish I'd brought it in here. You could see it, give you a visual. But Jeremiah 29:11. I've known this and had this verse memorized and part of my life for my whole Christian walk, which is about 49 years now, a little over 49 years that I've been really going after God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. I even memorized it in the King James, could you tell? Sometimes things look like they are going wrong. And sometimes things have been hard. A lot of things have gone wrong. This verse was given to the children of Israel, think about this, when they were in the process of going into exile. We've got a bug going around the world, and it's affecting us. But these people had not only seen a lot of their family members and a lot of their co-workers and a lot of their neighborhood people. And they had actually literally seen a lot of people die by the sword. And now the ones who were lucky were going to another land where they were going to dwell. That's what's going on in chapter 29, verse 11 of Jeremiah. They're going into another place in exile. They've been taken. Their homes have been taken. All they've got is the clothes on their backs and a few possessions, and they're going into a new land. And God says to them, I know it looks bad. I know it looks bad. I know it's rough right now. I know you're in a tough spot. He's not denying that if you read the context of the chapter. I know this is hard, but I know the plans that I have for you. I know what I'm going to do. And I have plans that are going to be good. And I have plans that are going to give you future and a hope. And so when we're in a season like this, that's an amazing verse for us to know, to have in our heart, to be aware of. And I thought to myself, wow, that was 6 weeks ago, or seven, whatever it was, that I first shared that with the kids. By the way, he has plans, plural, because there are people like me that he loves. Because he knows if he had a plan for me, I would miss it and probably already have. So he has plans. So when I get off the plan, he can get me back on the plan with a new plan. And he has plans because he knows how I am. Are any of you like that at all? God. So God has plans for you, and God has plans for us, and God has plans for the nations. And if we'll listen to him, even in a time when it seems like a lot of stuff's going wrong, God has a plan. It's a heck of a promise, isn't it? The name of today's message is Promises, Promises. Because that's what we need. We need to grab a hold of the promises in a time like this. My next verse on the board, in order, you know, from top to bottom, was Romans 8:28. Anybody know what that is? Yeah! Come on. You know what, though? I heard how you quoted that, and I quoted it that way for years until I ran into a Dr. Ron Cottle, who was a Greek scholar. And he actually was at the church in Auburn, so that's been 30 years ago, more than. And he got up on a Sunday morning and preached for 2 hours out of his Greek Bible on that verse. And nobody was bored. I can't tell you how that happened. I mean, the guy was just such an amazing speaker. But one of the things he said about that verse is, it doesn't say all things work to the good, even though that's how it's translated sometimes. It actually says, in all things, God works to the good. In all things, God works to the good. So that means, I don't care what's going on. It doesn't matter, because God is working to my good. I don't care what's going on out there, because God is working to your good. Because in all things, no matter what the things are, no matter what's happening, he knows about it, and he's working in all things. If God is working, think about that. God does something. That's when God works, he does good work. God doesn't do any cheap work. God doesn't work. He doesn't stand around, you know, watching other people work. God works. And it says that he works for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. I love him. And I know I'm called to do what he wants me to do. And by the way, I'm not called because I'm a pastor. I was called to be a pastor, but I was called before I was a pastor. We're all called. So it's exciting to think about that in all things, God is working. So in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of the craziness, in the middle of the people running through the parking lots sometimes. And I heard a story this morning about some people who were trying to load their car, and some other car rolls up, and a woman jumps out, grabs a couple of cases of baby formula, jumps in the car, and they drive off. I guess afraid she wasn't going to get baby formula. Did you tell me that story? Who told me that story? Was you? Okay. Couldn't remember who told me. Yeah, sold on buy-sell trade. Well, I heard that, you know, you can get a new Cadillac for 3 rolls of toilet paper and some hand sanitizer. That's what I heard. You know, did you almost spit your coffee out? Oh, and sorry about the coffee. We've taken the coffee bar away. If you noticed, we're just trying to figure out little things that we can do. I'm going to be probably ordering communion cups that come hermetically sealed so that we can take communion. And when you pick it up, you just pick it all up at once. You'll go, you'll peel the top little layer off, take your wafer out, then you'll peel the next little layer off. Yeah, probably not. That's probably not. The Panera Bread bowl thing would probably not be friendly to, well, it might be friendly to the virus. I don't know. And that's something we don't want to do. No. I did not call Lisa a virus. No, she's a sweetheart. And I'm not even afraid to hug her, even though it might be very dangerous. Yeah, she works in the mall, yeah. And no one ever goes in there, so we know she's safe. Okay. Wow. Another one on the board. If I had the board here, you would see the next one down. Philippians 1:6. Anybody know that one? A little more obscure. Philippians 1:6 says, I see some of you are turning real quick. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God has a plan. He's working for me, and he will fulfill, he will complete his plan, his work. He will keep working until it's done. Yay, God. I can't stop this because I'm his now, and now that I'm his, I can't stop it. He's working. He's begun a good work in me, and he is not going to quit until he finishes. I am so thankful for that because, boy, do I need his help. That's why I'm going to live so long, because it's going to take God a little extra longer with me. I can see that. I believe that. Yeah. This is something that I was telling the kids in the youth group. I was saying, look, I don't know whether you know or not, but you've been coming to youth group. And some of you kids have been starting to read your Bibles, and you've been talking about some of this stuff. And God started something in you, and I want you to know something. He's not going to stop until he's finished. He's begun something in you, and he's not going to stop until he's finished. And they kind of went, okay. Now, you know, granted, some of our young people are still pretty young people. They say that people really can start to grip the idea of becoming a Christian and serving God, mostly junior high age kids. Kids do get saved before that. They do have experiences with God. They do grow up in homes where they prayed a prayer when they were 4 years old and never got away from it. But there's something that begins to shift as they begin to enter into puberty and begin to go from being kids to adults. And in that process, something's going on there. It's a very important time to reach kids is at that time. And I always tell people this too. I don't want people to have my Jesus. I want them to have their own Jesus. I wanted my kids to have their own Jesus. I didn't want them to get by with an experience where, you know, dad, we got by on dad's experience. I wanted them to know him for themselves. It's a big deal. And so I want these kids that I'm working with on Sunday nights, I want them to know God for themselves. But he finishes what he starts. And I can see God working in their lives, and I can see God beginning to speak to them, and I see the wheels turning. Because they're most of them are right at that age, and they're getting it. So then there's this other promise. I actually taught on this earlier this year from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I love this because it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In a pandemic, rejoice, give thanks, and pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing part, some people may feel like they can do really well in a pandemic. Yeah. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. I got to go to Walmart. Oh. Don't let them touch me. You know, there are some people maybe feeling that. But here's what I like about this verse, and I think I said this earlier this year. For this is the will of God, not from you, but for you. A lot of times we read that and we think, oh man, I gotta do a better job. I gotta do better at rejoicing. I'm gonna be happy. Try to be. You know. I'm gonna pray without ceasing. You know, everywhere you go. And everything I'm gonna give thanks. Oh, that's the hardest. You know, this isn't from you, it's for you. God wants you to experience this for you so that you walk around. What do you think happens to the person who rejoices and prays and gives thanks constantly? What do you think their life becomes, even in the midst of a mess, even in the midst of world upheaval? What happens to that person? They are different. They are changed. They are having a good time in spite of the fact that nobody else seems to be. It's possible. And it's God's will for you. Not from you, like, I got to do this. I got to muster this up. It's God's will for you that you walk in this, that you live in this, that you experience this. It's so good. It's so good. It's a good promise. Maybe I should have written down these addresses and given them out to you so you can go get them later. You can get them later. You can go over and copy the board. I should have brought it over. Or you can just, you don't have to get the board. I know she's thinking, no, go ahead and get the board. Thank you. I'll let you. Thank you. That's very nice of you. Go get the board. I know. Bring me the board.
Bring me the board.
All right. Somebody will have to open the door for her when she gets down here. And you're going to hear click, 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 click pretty soon. When I live in this place of rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, what chance does the devil have? You ever think of that? Like, man, the devil's like, you know, send him the coronavirus. And you're like, I just rejoice in you, Lord, no matter what. I praise you and I thank you. And the devil's like, oh, man, I can't do anything to get this person down. It ruins the devil's day. How many of you think that would be a good job for us? Just ruin the devil's day. I got to tell you, though, some people, it's going to be hard. Like, I was in Meijer last night, and I'm just having a good time. I do this a lot when I get in line. I joke with whoever's checking us out, you know, and we're just having, that sounded weird, somebody checking you out. Now, I meant the person who was, beep, beep. Yeah, the cashier. There we go. Anyway, we were having fun and we were joking, but the couple in front of me, they looked really worried. And I think I didn't mean to make them angry. I'm not trying to make anybody angry, but it was almost like they were like, you're too happy. Stop being happy. You know, just joking about stuff. Here it comes. So I got one more verse on the board here. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't go over there and find out somebody erased it. That would have been awful. Yeah, people can't see this on Facebook, but we're having a lot of fun here. All right, this will mess up the cameras a little bit too, but we're getting better cameras. They'll be working in a week or two. Did I tell you, by the way, that the new cameras are going to be wired in? Okay, put it like that. The new cameras, thank you, Vanna. All right, the new cameras are going to be wired in the nursery so that it'll be easy if you're in the nursery to see everything again the way it used to be. Eventually, yeah, right now we've already got the wire run for the other one, though, so that's sooner. That's why I'm excited about it. If you turn to Romans again, you didn't turn. I didn't tell you to turn today, but that's all right, because I wanted to see if you knew these verses. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Anybody know what that is without looking? If God be for us, who can be against us? I love that verse. And I was telling the kids just last week, God is for you. Do you know God is for you? Like, he's on your side. He's for us. We have these battles, and God is like standing right there going, I'm going to help you. Hang on, baby. We're going to make it through this. It's going to happen. It's going to be good. God is for us. God is for us. When you start putting these ideas together, which is what I've been trying to do with the youth, you start to realize, wait a minute, this God thing is a good thing. Like, I want to be, give me some of that. See, that's what I'm after with these young people. And even if they don't memorize all these, although I'm pretty sure some of them are working hard to memorize these because I'm going to take money tonight. They know I'm coming with money. I am bribing the youth to tell me these verses. If they have them memorized, they can get money for it. Jake's the only one here this morning that knows, although I'm hearing some of the others have been brushing up on them, Jake. So, you know, there's a little bit of money in this if you got all these. Just saying. Have memorized the big one. There's a new bulletin board in the back. Job chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. 13? Something. I don't know. 13 through 19. Okay. You put it up. You should know. I just glanced at it, but I did look it up. I don't have all the Bible memorized, if you haven't figured that out. Yeah, I don't. I just said, you know, that the devil didn't stand a chance at the end of the idea that this is how we're supposed to live, rejoicing and praying and giving thanks. And when we do that, the devil doesn't have a chance. Well, he never had a chance anyway because God is for us. God is for you. God is for me. He's standing there. He's in our corner. He's not only rooting for us, he's going to help us. And it's an amazing thing. While these young people may not remember all of these a year from now, exactly as I expect them to quote them tonight if they want to make some money, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be at least, you know, somewhere in the ballpark. They can't look at this one and say, "For God so loved the world." It's not going to work. But they will remember this theme. I believe they will remember this theme. That God has a plan for them, that he's working in all things for their good, that he's going to continue to work until he finishes his work, that he's going to give them a life that's full of rejoicing and giving thanks and communication with him. By the way, prayer without ceasing doesn't mean you have to, you know, get down on your knees. Ouch, that hurt. Still haven't healed up. Do all this, you know, all the time, everywhere you go. You guys are going to have to pray for that knee some more. It was getting better until just then. Anyway, I keep hurting it at church. The point is, God has a life for you. And that life is so much better than any life you can have on your own. And that's what's important to understand. And these kids are getting this concept that God's in their corner and he has a life for them. That's a big deal. Now, I've been telling them all that. Notice there's something else on the board. So thank you for going and getting this. Some of you have heard this from me before. But I've been talking to them about the ABCDs. Did I say DC? ABCDs of knowing God. And it's just a little thing that we used to do when we were Jesus freaks. Help us remember. Because how many of you remember we used to go out and we had to pray the sinner's prayer with everybody? I think I told you I had one friend. He was so good at it, he could convince people to say a prayer that he had memorized, and he would get 50 people a day. I don't think any of them meant it, but he'd get 50 people a day some days. You know, just, hey, you want to pray this prayer? And he was kind of good looking and, you know, charismatic and all that. And like, all the girls were like, sure, we'll pray the prayer. This has been used by a lot of people as a template to help people pray what some people call the sinner's prayer. And the idea of the sinner's prayer is if you say the sinner's prayer, then you have accepted Jesus and you're saved. And that's not exactly right, to be honest. Because a lot of people have prayed the prayer and they didn't mean it. It wasn't from their heart. They just, you know, they repeated. You all know somebody probably who's done that. I know people who prayed it several times before it stuck, which may mean that it's not a bad idea to pray it, because if you can get them to pray it enough times, maybe it'll finally stick. I kind of was that myself, by the way. I would go to a lot of revivals when I was a kid, and my parents would take us to lay witness missions and all these things, and I got saved almost every time we went to something. So, you know, it finally stuck. I know people who have never prayed a prayer, by the way. I've even mentioned this from the pulpit, and I'm going to mention it again today. Two people in this congregation that I know of that never prayed the sinner's prayer, and yet are wonderful Christians in this congregation, are Joan O'Brien and Cord Earhart. Joan's story is she just started looking into Jesus, started reading her Bible, and started hanging around with people who were Christians, and no one ever said, did you pray the prayer? She never got an opportunity to, but stuff started to happen, and she became aware of God's presence in her life. These verses started to come true in her life. She started to experience it. Pretty much the same thing with Cord. He grew up in a different kind of a religious background system and not much of that, and God found him. We always say that too. We say, oh, I found Jesus. I think he found you. He wasn't lost. So, while neither of them were led in a sinner's prayer, they did both come to the point where they realized that they needed God in the middle of their life. And that's, if you will, the admit part of A. When you come to the revelation, when you realize that you need God in your life, if you can admit that, if you can get past the pride and admit, man, I can't do this on my own, then that's part number one of this ABCD thing that we help use as a structure to help bring people to a recognition of Christ. And then when people admit, when they come to a place where they can admit they can't do this on their own, that I'm going to need God's help, then they believe. If they believe that Jesus is the way that they will be able to do it because they can't do it on their own, they're believing in what he did for them. They're believing that he died for them. They're believing that he rose again. They're believing that they can walk in newness of life. When they start to believe, that's where that part comes in. And then confess. That believing part usually leads people to start talking about what they're experiencing. It should. And if they really have admitted that they can't do it on their own, they will get to the confession part because they will recognize that I couldn't do this on my own. I have to confess I couldn't do it on my own. And I have to, now that I believe, tell you what is making my life better. And then depend. Because once you've gotten through these things, you start to walk with him and live with him, and you start to recognize him, and you start to look for him in everything that you do. And you start depending on him to do what you can't do because you know you can't do it without him. The important thing for me that I want to illustrate to you this morning, because most of you have prayed a sinner's prayer or something at some time. You've come into Christ. You've been going to church. You've been experiencing Christ. You've been manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. You've been witnessing to other people. You've been doing some of this stuff. But you don't just do this once and then you're saved. This is actually a lifestyle. This is actually what we do. Because it's who we are. So if you're really saved, this isn't something you say once. I said it, good. I meant it, good. I'm in, good. My ticket's punched for heaven, good. No, if it's really real, it becomes part of your lifestyle. It becomes part of how you live. So in a sense, it's not bad to pray the prayer. Because every day on our faith journey, every day, we need to admit that we need him. Every day, we need to believe and exercise faith for him to direct our lives. Every day, we need to confess his promises over our lives, especially in a season like now, where the world is going crazy. We need to confess his promises over our lives because the world's going to keep sending, alert, 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 alert. And you need to go, in all things, God works for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Working for my good. I'm going to be all right. He started a good work in me, and he will keep doing it until he's done. Every day, we need to confess his promises. We need to confess that we're believing in him. We need to speak these things over our lives. And by the way, you want to know what's really in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The scripture says. So if you're confessing a lot of fear, instead of confessing these, I recommend you get some of these, write them out, and start reading them every time you want to say, oh, we're all going to die. No, you're not. You're not all going to die. And by the way, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So beat me up with that. So everybody just take a minute here. Just, you can bow your heads and close your eyes, or you can leave them open, do whatever you want. But pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I admit that I need you in my life. I believe in you. I believe that you gave your life for me. I confess that I believe, and I will confess to others. And I depend on you to direct my steps through life and lead me into life with you for eternity. You may have prayed a prayer like that a long time ago. And if you prayed that prayer then and meant it, it's been applying to your life ever since. If you've never prayed that prayer, if somebody's watching by Facebook, you've never prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer just now and you meant it, your journey is moving forward. But you can pray that prayer over and over and over in your journey, because that's part of your journey. Your journey in God. And I didn't want us to pray that prayer just so I can be sure that I got us into heaven. I want to pray that prayer so I can be sure I'm getting heaven into us. See, that's another mistake that we've made sometimes in Christianity. Say a prayer, do this, do that, do this. Okay, you're in. You're part of the, yeah, you're in the club. No. The club's trying to get in you. Heaven's trying to get in you. Jesus didn't come so we could just go to heaven. He came so heaven could get into us, so that we could represent him to a lost and dying world. I know I've said almost all these things before, but sometimes in the midst of the craziness and sometimes in the midst of the insanity of the world, we just need to remember who we are and whose we are and what's going on, and be confident and be excited. And even though this morning our numbers are down, and I know a few people who decided that they didn't want to be in a public gathering, and that's cool with me, especially if your situation kind of demands it. I have parents who are 88 and 87, and they live in a care facility that's awesome, that they really like where they're living, and it's comfortable for them, and it's cool. And the care facility told them yesterday, you ain't going nowhere. Now, they could be free to do that. They could be free to come, and they could also be free to move back into my house. And I'd be okay with that, but I think they like where they are. And I think it makes sense at their age. How many think that at their age, till we see where this thing's going, it might make good sense for mom and dad to stay put? So I get that. I can see it on a personal level. And so if you all, by next week, if I come in here and I'm alone, I'll talk Matt into coming out and setting up the cameras, which he does diligently and faithfully every week, and we'll get a video going and y'all can watch from home if that's what we have to do. You know, we'll see where this goes. But this whole thing that's happening might be something that God, I kind of think he wasn't surprised. How many think God wasn't surprised? Oh my goodness! How'd that coronavirus start? Wow. Wasn't looking for that. No, that's not who God is. And so God knows in the midst of this that he might, and I think he is, looking for an opportunity to bring revival to the world. What if we could represent him well during a time such as this? What if we could walk about in a way where they see the rejoicing on us, where they see us in constant relationship, communication with God, and giving thanks for all things and in all things? What if we are those people in this time when somebody needs to be, because there's a plenty of people on television pulling out their hair, freaking out? I would do that, but there's just not enough left. How many of you would like to see another great awakening? You know, we've had two of those in this country. Two great awakenings. A third great awakening would be great. And they didn't call the Jesus movement a great awakening, but I'd settle for another Jesus movement. It was kind of an awakening in our country. And so I think that we could be on the verge of something amazing. God might even use you to help someone with this little form. Maybe you can get somebody to a place where they're freaking out and instead they exchange it all for a journey with Jesus. To know Abba Father who loves us. And it's as easy as ABCD. So let's confess his promises in this time more than ever. And in fact, I have a question. Have you, any of you, been pulling out a special promise during this time? Or have you got one? Maybe you haven't pulled out yet, but all of a sudden during this message you went, oh yeah, that promise. I remember that promise. Just curious. We normally take testimonies at the end of our messages and we normally disappear off of the video that gets edited. But I'm just curious. Has anybody got a promise they want to share with us today? Anybody got one? When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Do you know where it's at? You don't need to. It's in the Papa. It's in the Father. What? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I know a melody to that. Yeah. Isaiah 41:10. Anybody else know one? What? Yeah, it's been being posted, but I just happen to have it right here. I've got to turn that off. Okay, find it. Go, out of my way. Not you. Here we go. Psalm 91. I really encourage all of you, and I've been seeing this posted a lot of places, and this is an amazing psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. That does not mean that God is a large bird, by the way. It's a metaphor. We don't have that metaphor played out in front of us as much as we used to. But how many of you have ever seen a bird that's protecting its young with its wings? It's really cool to see how that mother just does everything, you know. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence, there it is again, that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's just the first 7 verses. You'll be like, well, what about the rest of them? Read it. I just wanted to entice you into finding Psalm 91. Put it on your phone, read it to yourself. Find it someplace, get it where you can see it. Find some other verses. I hope you have promises that stand out to you like I have promises that stand out to me. Because God's given me some promises that are for me. He wants me to have them. He wants me to be aware of them. I'm excited because I believe God is up to something. And if we look around in the midst of this crazy time, as I started out this message with, we might see the things that God's up to. God's up to good stuff that Wasn't expected. And yet God shows up and it happens. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool if we can keep our eyes on what he's doing and be comforted by that.